Good day, folks. Good afternoon or good morning or whenever you're watching this. Today is Thursday, February, what is it, Shane? The 10th?
11th.
11th, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. A toast to our parish across the river. And frankly, as I've thought about the weekend coming up, it's Valentine's Day. Now, Valentine's Day is not a big day in my life, of course, because it's just me and the dog, Chucho. And I already bought him a little dog cookie at Hy-Vee, which says, "Hug me." So he'll get that for Valentine's Day. But in part because of Valentine's Day, but really because of a movement which has started some months ago for me, I've been very conscious of the tenderness of love that Jesus Christ offers us, especially in these most difficult times. That I can truly say it's been for me a time of spiritual transformation, and I hope and I trust for all of us to some degree that the pandemic, which we've been living now with for almost a year here in the States, has it's been a time of enormous transformation, right? In so many ways, and but key for me has been that, what does this mean spiritually? What do I do with the pain of isolation, for example, which many of you are struggling with, the pain of separation from loved ones, from family, from our children, and grandchildren? What do I do with the pain of unemployment, of joblessness? What do I do with the pain of racial injustice, particularly, of course, if I am not part of the majority culture? For us, that's being white. Not only the pain of that, but this lack of understanding on the part of others of a broader culture that still might not get it and doesn't honor my pain. Where do I go with all that? And of course, as Christians, we take it to Jesus Christ, and I don't want to be glib about what that means. That is to say, take it to the Lord or attach your cross to His cross. I've got 100 sayings like that. Do I truly surrender and do that? Do I truly, in my isolation or in my need for tenderness, my need for understanding, my need for you know, a hug? Do I truly allow Jesus to do that? Or do I stay in my pain, lick my wounds, and wish I had somebody in my life, or wish I wasn't separated from that someone in my life, or whatever the case may be for each of us? A lot of this reflection took me back to my 30-day retreat in 1990, my Ignatian retreat, the spiritual exercises. And when I truly had a month, 24/7, to be with Jesus, to be with God, conversation with the Lord. You know, I didn't have to, I was out in Massachusetts. It was a sabbatical. It was all, you know, paid for. You know, a real luxury, a real privilege, a real perk for people in my profession to be able to set aside that time to do nothing but to be with the Lord, you know. And it transformed my life. I've said to you before, and so apologies for the redundancy, but I had a spiritual director, Sister Dorothy, who said to me, "You will live out of this retreat the rest of your life." And at the time she just said it, you know, it was like, okay, great. It's like saying you'll never forget this moment, or you'll know where you were when this happened, but you will live out of this the rest of your life, is a big promise, right? Huge promise. But it has come to be true, because 30 years later, plus going on 31, I'm living out of what I experienced on that retreat. For me, that's half a lifetime ago. That spiritual experience remains kind of paramount in my life, as seminal, as key, as foundational. And what happened, of course, in that time is that I really fell in love with Jesus Christ. And I don't use the term lightly. I remember, you know, I could hardly wait to get up in the morning because I got to talk to the Lord, you know. I got to have a conversation. I got to hear him, listen to him. You know, I experienced the presence of Jesus with me in such a intimate way, in such a close way, in such a real way, that I've never since doubted, you know, the presence of the Lord with me. You know, for a lot of my life, I've said, "I know you're here, but just, you know, stand over there in a corner and shut up. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to pay attention to you." But I've never doubted that he indeed is with me. And that's significant, I think. So, as part of this spiritual movement in my life, I've recently been meeting with a spiritual director new in my life, a new director, after not seeing a director for a few years, because my old director left, and I, you know, changing spiritual directors is like changing therapists and dentists and, you know, barbers and hairstylists. You know, it's really hard to do. And I just, you know, obviously didn't make it a priority, but I've made it a priority, and so I'm back in spiritual direction, which every, you know, master should be doing. And I've been revisiting, you know, moments in that 30-day retreat. Because, I mean, none of us can live, obviously, on a 30-day retreat. We've got to go to work and make a living, and we've got a family to take care of, and dogs to take outside, and things. We've got life. And so how do we renew that relationship with Jesus Christ in our ordinary lives? You know, hopefully we're going to prayer. Hopefully we're, you know, we depend on the sacraments. And at this time, of course, you know, we can't do that. And but in any case, for me, it means revisiting what I experienced on the 30-day retreat and trying to find a way of reigniting that relationship with Jesus here and now. Couple of things I just want to say now, and I want to finish with a poem, and that'll be it. But one thing that, again, you know, this Visitation Sisters, our friends, have taught me many things over the past many years, and the sisters have a great devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because it was Sister Saint Margaret Mary, a Visitation Sister, who really championed this spirituality of Jesus' burning love for us. And how do we live in that? Sister Mary Margaret, recently deceased, would say that, you know, in difficult times she would just place herself into the lie in the hammock in the heart of Jesus, you know. And just that image of just resting in that heart is what I aspire to, you know, especially in difficult times. So I'd like to explore that a bit, and also, you know, the other thing I want to mention is that dynamic of taking what I lived on this 30-day retreat and bringing it to everyday life. And the Jesuits have a term for that. It's called the fifth week, really. It's, you know, we've got 4 weeks of our 30-day retreat. Well, the fifth week, of course, is the rest of our lives. And so how do we live that fifth week? You know, with all the riches that the 4 weeks of living and moving with Jesus have brought us. So it's kind of that fifth week spirituality that I'm exploring. But I want to read a poem by the poet David White, W-H-Y-T-E. And he writes a lot of poems with really beautiful and tender spirituality. Some prose too he's written, but I know him for his poetry. And between him and Denise Levertov, whom you may be familiar with, another poet, their poems have a lot of spiritual and religious themes. And I love words, I love reading. But, you know, we read poetry, of course, differently than we read other things. And so poetry, in its evocative, artistic way, kind of brings us to a place that reading prose doesn't. And so I'm trying to stay away from my reading one more book about prayer to actually praying. And perhaps if I love words or use words, they can be words of poetry. But in honor of Valentine's Day, I read this poem, The True Love. And true love here is one word, the true love. And for White, David White, it's it's the language of love, of our human love, that is directed to that other, to Jesus. So, the true love. There is a faith in loving fiercely the one who is rightfully yours, especially if you have waited years, and especially if part of you never believed you could deserve this loved and beckoning hand held out to you in this way. I am thinking of faith now and the testaments of loneliness and what we feel are worth and what we feel we are worthy of in this world. Years ago in the Hebrides, I remember an old man who walked every morning on the gray stones to the shore of baying seals, who would press his hat to his chest in the blustering salt wind and say his prayer to the turbulent Jesus hidden in the water. And I think of the story of the storm and everyone waking and seeing the distant yet familiar figure far across the water, calling to them. And how we are all preparing for that abrupt waking, about that calling in that moment we have to say yes, except it will not come so grandly, so biblically, but more subtly and intimately in the face of the one you know you have to love. So that when we finally step out of the boat toward them, we find everything holds us and everything confirms our courage. And if you wanted to drown, you could, but you don't, because finally, after all this struggle, after all these years, you don't want to anymore. You've simply had enough of drowning. And you want to live, and you want to love, and you will walk across any territory and any darkness, however fluid and however dangerous, to take the one hand you know belongs in yours. That's good. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day. God love you.